A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set up, and the ancient one took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was flames of fire, with wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. The court was convened and the books were opened. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the ancient one and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Peter. Beloved, we did not cleverly devise myths when we were made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declination came to him from the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to him, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain apart from them by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant.
Verbum Domini.
Laus tibi, Christe.
Today, the church celebrates the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord, and each year, the gospel reading for this feast is taken from a different gospel account, depending on which year we are observing during the three-year cycle. And since we are observing year B this year, the gospel readings throughout the liturgical year are mostly drawn from the Gospel of Mark, whereas year A focuses on Matthew, and year C focuses on Luke. So naturally, the gospel reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Mark. And while there are slight variations among the three gospel accounts of the Transfiguration, they are all substantially the same. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain. He is transfigured before them. Moses and Elijah appear and converse with Jesus. Peter offers to make three tents, and the vision concludes with the three apostles remaining silent. And it stands to reason that the gospel writers relied upon either the firsthand accounts of the vision from Peter, James, and/or John, or they heard of the transfiguration from other people who had heard of it from these three apostles who were present. In the second reading today, St. Peter himself affirms that the vision of Christ's glory is real, and that those present heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." One of the questions that many of us might have about the Transfiguration is, why did Jesus decide to reveal his glory to these disciples in such a dramatic manner? And the Gospels do not explicitly give us a reason for the vision, nor does Jesus himself reveal his motivation for it. However, the context within which the Transfiguration is situated may give us a clue as to our Lord's intentions for his disciples. If we look at the immediate context of the Gospel of Mark, we see Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, followed by our Lord's prediction of his suffering and death. And when Peter hears this prediction, he finds it troubling and rebukes Jesus. And Jesus then rebukes Peter in return, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Jesus then teaches the crowd along with his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And so if we imagine ourselves as being amid that crowd of people, or especially as one of the apostles, we could imagine how troubling these words would be, especially if we knew nothing of the resurrection of Jesus. It is after this teaching on the cross that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a high mountain and is transfigured before them. And this vision would indeed be encouraging for his disciples, especially for Peter, and would help to bolster their faith in the Lord and in his identity as the Christ. Their faith is also confirmed by the voice of the Father, who declares Jesus as his beloved Son and tells his disciples to listen to him. And the Catechism teaches in paragraph 555 concerning the Transfiguration, for a moment Jesus discloses his divine glory, confirming Peter's confession. He also reveals that he will have to go by the way of the cross at Jerusalem in order to enter into his glory. Moses and Elijah had seen God's glory on the mountain. The law and the prophets had announced the Messiah's sufferings. Christ's passion is the will of the Father. The Son acts as God's servant. The cloud indicates the presence of the Holy Spirit. The whole Trinity appeared, the Father in the voice, the Son in the man, the Spirit in the shining cloud. So the Catechism itself supports the notion that the Transfiguration was intended as a confirmation of Jesus' identity as the Christ and the veracity of his prediction of his suffering and death. And the Catechism also goes on to say in the next paragraph, the Transfiguration is the sacrament of the second regeneration, our own resurrection. Now recall that the first regeneration is baptism. And the Catechism then says, from now on we share in the Lord's resurrection through the Spirit who acts in the sacraments of the body of Christ. The Transfiguration gives us a foretaste of Christ's glorious coming, when he will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body. But it also recalls that it is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. And thus the Lord grants this vision to his three closest apostles, Peter, James, and John, so that the vision might confirm them in the faith and that it might strengthen their resolve in the struggle that will surely follow the Lord's resurrection and ascension into heaven. As they have persecuted the Lord and put him to death, so they will likewise treat the Lord's disciples. And so Jesus is preparing them for this reality, so that when the time comes for their own persecution and death, they might bear more effective witness to Christ, to the love of God, and to the message of the gospel. Their bearing of persecution and martyrdom with patience and love is a more powerful witness than even their words of teaching and preaching alone. The account of the Transfiguration has been handed on to us for the confirmation of our own faith in Christ and for our edification. Our faith and hope in the Lord are not in vain, because we have this sign, this sacrament, so to speak, of our future resurrection, represented in this glorious event of the Transfiguration. The words that the Father addresses to the apostles on the mountain also apply to all of us. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. We are called as Christians not only to profess our faith in the Lord with our lips, but to allow the gospel message to penetrate our very being, our hearts, and our souls. We are called to listen attentively to the word of Christ and to strive to conform our hearts and minds to the heart and mind of Christ, to put off the old man of sin, foolish pride, anger, irrational fear, bitterness, envy, gossip, and backbiting, lust, and every sort of evil, and to put on Christ the Lord. We should spend time every day listening to the Lord by reading his word and reflecting upon it in prayer. We then take what we have received in prayer and put it into practice through works of charity and mercy. And if it is the Lord's will that we should suffer for the sake of the gospel, then we should be prepared to willingly accept it with patience and love in imitation of the apostles, who did not curse their enemies or inflict violence upon them, but instead loved their enemies, blessed them, and forgave them as Jesus had instructed them. And so may the transfiguration of our Lord be a source of courage and inspiration for all Christians, that we might listen to Jesus and do what he has commanded us.